This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello is out. Matt Scraby sitting in for him today as my partner and joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, updating us on some Aztec basketball is Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how you doing? Thanks for coming on today.
I'm doing all right. Enjoying this weather.
Yeah, no kidding. It's finally not blazing hot outside. It feels a lot more like San Diego moving into that fall time. And that usually means we're getting some type of basketball news. And the one thing I saw that perked my antennas up a little bit was the fact that Nathan Mensah got cleared to resume basketball activities and has been out. He's been out after being out 10 months, I think, something around there. What do you think of the expectation for him is this season?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm talking to a couple of coaches and I'm like, wow, you know, that's great. You guys must be excited. And, you know, they went 5-on-5 for the first time this week, and that was his first day back. It's kind of coincided on it. So I said, you know what? Man, is it hard for him? He hasn't played in 10 months, and is he behind? And they said, actually, no, because nobody else has played since March. So they're all kind of in the same boat. And in that way, I mean, he's been working out, so he's fit, but he just, you know, none of them have gone 5-on-5, you know, in a practice format like that. And so in that respect, he's really not that far behind. And I think he's going to have, if he can stay healthy, he will have a big season. You know, last year, right before he went down and went out, he was really rounding into incredible shape. And anyone who saw that Utah game, that's a huge team with one big after another. San Diego State beat him by 28. And the reason they beat him by 28 was if you're to point to one person, it was Nathan Mensah. He just locked down the middle, grabbed rebounds, blocked shots, you know, controlled the paint, and is one of those examples of just controlling the game with his size and his smarts and his athleticism and not having to score 50 points, you know, and so he was just starting to turn that corner that everyone thought he could be this kind of player. And then boom, he's out. So I think if he can pick up where he left off, he'll be a huge, huge impact for him.
Mark Ziegler here, SD San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Now, yesterday, Coach Dutcher had his press conference, and I think a lot of us were thinking about last year and how it ended and how it was really unfulfilling. Well, he said that's in the rearview mirror for him, but guys like leaders on the team like Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle say it's going to fuel them, so it's kind of a conflicting view on that whole thing. What do you think is the better mindset for this team?
You know, I think they're going to have to just move forward. Yeah, you know, I think when they get into March, maybe a little bit of that comes into play if they get back to the tournament. But, you know, this is a different team. I mean, you lose Malachi Flynn, you lose KJ Fagan, you lose Yanni Wetzel. All three played huge roles on that team, right? And you're replacing them with some new guys, you know, some veteran guys who are very good, but they're different kind of players and they're new to the system. So I think in that respect, it's really kind of a new team. I mean, yeah, you'll see some of the familiar faces, but even just like we were talking about Nathan Mensah, I mean, he didn't play the last half of the season, so he's almost a new piece. Terrell Gomez, the transfer from Northridge, new piece. Joshua Tomac from Maryland, new piece. You know, yeah. Keyshaw Johnson, who didn't play much last year, probably should play a lot this year, or at least a lot more, kind of a new piece. You know, the freshman class, you know, I suspect one of the three freshmen will probably break into the rotation. There's another new piece. So I think it's going to be a lot more new than it is old. And so from that standpoint, it's a new team, it's a new year, and it's such a different year that I just think you have to have the mindset of, look, let's just, you know, this is our team, and let's create our own new identity and move forward.
Mark, how difficult, you mentioned all those new pieces, how difficult under these circumstances will it be to get all on the same page? This isn't the normal way that a basketball season kind of takes place. How do you see that part kind of working itself out?
Well, it's funny because you just hit the nail on the head. That's going to be their biggest challenge. And so to give you some context, so we're in the third week of October. Okay. By now, normally they would have already had three intra-squad scrimmages with refs on a weekend, you know, for like an hour. They would have been doing five-on-five drills, limited over the summer more than now, but they would have been doing some five-on-five work, putting in offense, putting in out-of-bounds plays, putting in sidelines out-of-bounds, putting in different types of defenses, press breaks, press offense, you know, press defense, I mean, going back to the first week of July. And so all those little hours they get, you know, 2 hours here a week or 4 hours here a week, 8 hours here a week, all those add up. And, you know, I remember going to the first, quote unquote, first day of practice at the end of September the last few years, and I'd be sitting there and they'd start running an offensive set. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, when did they put that in? Did I miss it? And oh, no, they did that, you know, a month ago. And they haven't done any of that. I mean, they just started playing five-on-five on Monday. So, yeah, it's going to be a real quick sort of chemistry experiment getting all these pieces put together. And I don't think people can reasonably expect this team to be a sort of a humming machine like it was early in the season last year. I just don't, you know, maybe it will be, but I just don't think you could expect that probably until January. Doesn't mean they won't be good because they're going to be veteran and talented, but the team we see in January is going to be completely different than the one we see probably in November. They have no exhibitions. They'll have some intra-squad scrimmages here, but no closed-door scrimmages against another D1 team. Can't do that. No exhibition against a D2. They won't have anything. They'll just start playing all of a sudden a month from now. So it's going to be a unique kind of deal.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. One of the things I found most interesting about sports during COVID is playing the games without fans. And I know California is not allowing fans for some places. I know that they put out something yesterday that's very confusing, like everything that they put out. But when they do get to playing in San Diego at Viejas Arena, they're not going to have their fan base with them. How different is that going to be? I mean, I don't even know if they're planning on playing any games at Viejas before the year is over.
Yeah, I think they'll probably play one or two just out of convenience, but that will be it. They won't play their normal, you know, a normal preseason. You want to play, you know, as many as you can at home to kind of build up your resume and get used to it and have that advantage. You know, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is, you know, when they do all these metrics that the selection committee uses and relies on to choose a NCAA tournament field, a lot of it's predicated on where you play the game, home, road, or neutral. I think all that goes out the window this year. I don't know if a home win is as valuable or if a road win is as valuable, because I think you're going to see teams losing at home that normally wouldn't lose at home, and I think you're going to see teams winning on the road that normally wouldn't win on the road. You know, I mean, maybe the game at Boise State, you know, who's a contender for the conference title, becomes easier because you don't have 10,000 people screaming. But maybe a home game against Colorado State becomes a lot tougher that you normally just sort of sleepwalk through. And, boy, you know, rely on your fans to pick you up. Maybe you don't get that pick-me-up when you fall behind by 10 in the second half and the fans aren't there trying to urge you on and you just sort of slip away and lose the game. So I think there's going to be a little bit of that, and it's going to be a tough adjustment for, you know, I think pros are pros, and you've seen it in baseball and football. They're just, you know, they're just locked, so locked in, they don't even hear the crowd anymore. But these are kids, and they're emotional, and they feel it and see it and sense it, hear it. And so I think it's going to be harder for them.
Mark, how good or bad will the rest of the Mountain West Conference be this year?
Well, I think Boise State could be very good. They got a lot of transfers who are sitting out from places like Oregon, and they got like half of Arizona's team, it seems like, out there. A couple of nice pieces coming back. they're going to have the same issue San Diego State has in that they've got to put it all together, maybe even more so than San Diego State with all their newcomers. But they also have the advantage that they've been able to practice a lot longer because Idaho's a state that's been pretty wide open all summer. And so I'm suspecting the restrictions on practice. You know, they weren't wearing masks last week like San Diego State was still in practice. So, they're going to be a contender. I think UNLV will be better. TJ Osselberger has his, you know, he's a very much of a system coach. He's got his system kind of guy. So we'll see how that goes. But beyond that, I think Nevada will be okay. I think sort of the middle of the conference will be decent and good enough that they could, come in and beat you at home if you're not really on your game without fans. But I don't think it's, when you look at NCAA tournament, I think there's two NCAA tournament caliber teams, and that's San Diego State and Boise, if they can really get things together.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, joined us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And Mark, last one for me. I saw your piece on youth sports and how a lot of teams have been going to Arizona in order to play their games. I know that to be true because I've had to do it for my daughter on a few different occasions. But do you think the state is facing pressure? And I'm sure they are. But do you think they're facing pressure to get youth sports going again out this way?
They are, but they're resisting it. There's a lot of chatter that Tuesdays is when they release their new guidances and protocols each week. And they have a press conference with the Secretary of Health and Human Services and a big announcement that goes on for about an hour, and they go through everything. And everyone thought tomorrow was the day. There was some chatter coming out of the governor's office that it was supposed to be the day they were going to update youth sports protocols, and there was nothing. And when he was asked about it, he just sort of said, well, we're working on it. And, I don't know how much more pressure they can get. I mean, kids are rallying in front of county administration buildings. Parents are fuming. Huge dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact are leaving the state because these tournaments are they're going to Arizona. I mean, and I wrote in the story, I talked to the head of Surf Cup Sports, who runs the Surf Cup and some of the other biggest youth tournaments, not only in San Diego, but in the country and in the world. They haven't moved to Arizona. And I said, well, why? And he said, look, they've given us two choices, go out of business or go out of state. We're going out of state. And so I don't know how much more pressure they can get. And I think some of it is tied into high school. High school is supposed to start December 12th with football, most notably starting practice. And, when you tie that together with schools that many of the biggest school districts are still distance learning, San Diego Unified is predominantly almost the whole thing is shut down right now. And I just don't know how they're going to play high school sports if the teachers' unions still want to stay away. And if they can't play high school sports, how's he going to open youth club sports? And so I think they're all kind of intermingled, and it's just one big political stew and quagmire. And I don't think they've figured out a way out of it. And I think that's the biggest issue right now.
Yeah, it remains to be seen how it's got. I think the biggest, one of the tougher parts is for parents looking out at some of these other states that are open. You're like, well, why can't we be open? And then you mix the science part and you mix in the political part, and it is a quagmire, as you called it, Mark. Hey, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with myself and Scraby, and we'll catch up as this Aztec season gets rolling.
Absolutely. Enjoy your drive to Yuma and beyond. I know I-8 very well. You know where all the In-N-Out burgers are, because I do,
yes,
too.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU Online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit sdccu.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.